I have on the phone Malleus. Malleus is the proprietor and the librarian of the infamous and famous Solar General. And it is probably, in my opinion, the most teaching site in terms of in-depth racial and racialist documents that is currently anywhere on the internet. Malleus, thank you very much for speaking on Vanguard Radio.
I thank you for having me here.
Is this the first radio interview that you've ever done?
It is the first. I had given a lecture of a similar but unrelated topic in the past, but this is the first time anyone's really been interested enough to interview me about the webpage.
I think people are interested. I think the interest is long there, very much. It's a question of you're somewhat an anonymous person, although, if I may say, I know you and I both were in World Church of the Creator some while ago. Can you tell us about your interactions, your meetings with P.M. Hale? I, unfortunately, was never able to meet P.M. Hale, although we've corresponded.
Unfortunately, I never met Matt Hale, and in all honesty, I really kicked myself in the ass for not being able to travel as much as I would have liked to have. I never met him. I never talked to him on the phone. He seemed like a nice guy. I can't really say that there's anything bad about him. I didn't get to meet, for example, Dr. Pierce either before he died. So, essentially, any conversation or contacts I had with him were purely email. And I came across as an okay guy. Very upstanding man. Can't really say, as I said, anything bad about him. He was a little bit difficult to introduce new ideas to him, but other than that, just an over-the-top, upstanding white leader, if there ever was one.
I notice you post, of course, you post on Vanguard forums, and also on Stormfront. You posted there for some while. You reach a lot of people, but more than that, of course, it's solargeneral.com. That's how they're familiar with you. I think by now, the many years you've been using the handle Malleus, people know who you are, a great many people.
Some people do, some people don't.
Right.
Those that need to know, we'll find out.
Can you tell me how much your site has grown? How many hits, if I may ask, do you get in a good day?
We figure perhaps maybe 700-800 unique visitors every day. And mostly my measure, my yardstick of success has largely been the bandwidth. And we have, as you know, I think the largest white nationalist video collection on the internet, as well as a very large audio collection, perhaps not the largest. But bandwidth would be how I would measure how good a job we're doing. And it would approach close to, at its peak, right around a terabyte every single month. That's 1,000 gigabytes. And I think the most successful month we ever had was right around 1.5 terabytes. So we were practically blowing the server off the rack.
Do you remember when that was, or what events surrounded that month, worldwide or nationally?
I don't think there was anything particular that stuck out in my mind, just more and more people kind of coming in through osmosis, I guess, for lack of a better term.
How many sites lead into Solar General? Do you happen to know? I wonder.
Not really. It's not really a very large number. I'd say maybe a dozen or so. I can't really keep track of who links and who doesn't, but it's up there.
Do you get a lot of personal emails?
Usually not. I'd say of all the emails I get, a fair number of it is, of course, spam. But also you get, of those that email me and say, hey, you know, good job here and there, that's the majority of the personal email I get, probably about 80%. Occasionally you'll have some, I don't know, what do we want to call it, something like that, that writes on in and says, hey, you know, you're a real asshole.
Could be a mud, could be a Jew.
I don't really lose any sleep over it.
What do you have in store for all the readers worldwide within the next few months at solargeneral.com?
We have, as you know, a very large, we have a weblog running there. We're thinking of maybe installing a very large white nationalist music section, just purely white bands, maybe a few white nationalist videos for some of these bands. It's just an issue of getting it all together, getting it collected. There's one or two bands on there already. I think Honor is one of them. That's a Polish band. And I got the permission of the guy that owns that label to put it on up there. And the band doesn't seem to mind either. So that's probably where we're heading next. As for what comes after that, it's pretty much anybody's guess. Probably a heck of a lot more videos. The videos and the audio, the multimedia, seems to be the biggest success with people that drop by and visit.
Yeah, I think we could actually say accurately that at VNN, multimedia is what interests people, racist multimedia.
It's going to be, the internet is the new mass media, and I've been keen to impress this upon people that are new to this business. It's not the be-all and end-all of this entire operation, this entire movement, if you want to call it that. But it's a very integral and important part because it cannot be constrained and controlled by our enemies. I mean, anyone with a computer can speak his or her mind. And that's a very important concept for anyone getting into this operation. Just get a web page or, you know, help out with one. That would be my message to people that are, say, young and upcoming and just new on in the door.
You're, as of lately, not a creator anymore. Is that correct?
No. I am fully 100% independent. Essentially, I was becoming more and more disillusioned with the leadership. I came to question over and over again that this is not what Klassen intended. My honest belief is that we're going to win this battle partially by being successful personally and by being productive and successful and community-oriented individuals. That sounds very lame, but that's kind of how I interpret it. And I just wasn't seeing that with the current leadership. It was just a lot of petty politics, a lot of backbiting, a lot of finger-pointing, and then one guy went off and did something somewhat foolish, and that's where I said, that's the end of the line.
And yet I notice when you PM me or something, you'll often say, Rahoa. So when you talk about community, I think we have yet to see exactly how it's going to flesh out because they've essentially taught us or tried to prevent us from establishing a white racist community worldwide. So it's a little difficult to get past that point, but I think with the events in France and Toledo and New Orleans, these things are becoming more evident that we are entitled and indeed, we must become one.
My viewpoint on community is it's just simply an idea. My idea on community is that a man is not anything unless he does something productive, unless he serves something greater than himself.
That's exactly what Ben Klassen said, too.
And as far as these riots and all these other unintended consequences, what we're going to see is more and more pressure for white people to stand up and act on their own behalf. And Jared Taylor, for example, over at American Renaissance, he talks a lot about the necessity of whites to group together and act in their own best interests in a multicultural and multiracial society and nation. And that's where it starts. It's right now just in the genesis phase. And even Dr. William Pierce compared it to a snowball, just starting at the top of the hill. And it's going to build up as it gathers steam, and who knows where it's going to end.
You mentioned Dr. Pearson. You know, you have, of course, his audio files of the Turner Diary, he himself reading his fictional work, which was such a, it was a banned book in many places, some places in this country. And still, you most certainly cannot walk in libraries and get it. And yet you have the audio files online, and you have for quite a couple of years now at least, right?
That was a rather recent addition, I'd say right around maybe a year or so. But you know, that's something I'm pleased to have out there, just so people can see this is what the fiction is. You know, it's not something that I consider to be reality, but it's entertainment, and it's a reflection of some of our politics, certainly not all of it.
SolarGeneral.com, you're never shrinking from naming the Jew, as VNN does not shrink from that. You don't shirk the duty there as a creator. And I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit to Vanguard Radio listeners.
What is there to say, really? The Jew has been a historical parasite. He is our traditional enemy. He produces nothing creative culturally on his own. And over 2,000 years of history, there's some greater reason as to why it is he's been booted out of almost 80 different nations and city-states. Okay, it's not because someone gets this irrational, petty, personal dislike of Jews. Okay, it's because they're very antisocial towards non-Jews. And as I see it personally, it's really nothing, it isn't anything personal. There is no intense burning hatred. It's just a fact of life that you can't have two different cultures or races or ethnicities or what, two different organisms in the same physical territory without conflict. And as we've seen in the past, but Jews have had plenty of opportunity to do something else other than manipulate as a group, do something else other than manipulate various aspects of society, and they've chosen not to. So they've suffered somewhat, largely of their, a result of their own designs, I might say. So, by and large, it's not a coincidence that we see Jews in various high society places, like the media and the business and the government and the lobbying groups and all that stuff. And once the pressure builds, maybe they'll get washed out, we can hope.
Yeah, it's a long-term process. I was talking to one friend of mine a couple of years ago, and he pointed out that the battle's been going on for thousands of years, and it may yet go on for thousands more. And when you think back to the burning of the Second Temple in A.D. 70, oh, geez, I guess he's right, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a very long-term process, and their hatred of non-Jews is more or less eternal, and our vigilance has to be equally eternal. If they want to live on their own little territory amongst themselves, hey, more power to them. But whites have just as much right to their own nation with their own ideas, their own leaders, their own government, their own system of government free from external interference as they do.
And I don't think I have any doubt that Solar General would like to expand media-wise as VNN hopes to do to supplant newspapers and Murray Rothstein TVs and his multiple networks and his 1,001, well, Westwood One radio stations, or over 1,000, I guess. And as the Internet grows, you think that this will happen?
I think it's the next logical stepping stone. I'm not sure, obviously, when or how it's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't read people's minds. But it's just, there's really no alternative.
Well, maybe we can't see the forest for the trees right now, huh?
Well, not even so much that. I mean, that's an aspect. But it's primarily the issue of, well, gosh, golly, gee whiz, there's black entertainment television, there's Telemundo for Latinos, and there's nothing for whites. Whites are told that they have to participate as a part of a larger group. They can never act in their own best interests. And even from my youngest days, when I started to consider this question, I found that there was something completely flawed with that. So, obviously, it will be a point of whites getting their own TV shows exclusively on radios. It's going to have to require a bit of breaking through the old guard, so to speak.
You know, when you mentioned that phrase, your younger days, I'm reminded of Matt Hale, read Mein Kampf when he was a very young boy, I think 11 years old, he said. And, of course, nowadays, because of the political correctness that's just really choking our young white men especially, and the girls just get choked, I should say, literally, but the white boys, yeah, yeah. The boys are certainly choked culturally. They're choked in the institutions of learning and in the job market. But I think perhaps as a result of that, maybe young people are reacting quicker. Now, of course, not everyone will know this about you, and I don't think, I remember when I was younger, you know, I most people know I'm in my 50s, but I did not like older men to refer to me as a young man. You know, it's sort of, as if to say, the implication is I have made my mark, and as a matter of fact, mainly it's just the opposite. That's why I draw attention to it, because you have, and you're a young guy, you're a relatively young guy. I know you're, you want to say you're around 30, is that all right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Byron, who made the line in the sand, Byron Yost, he's just turned 31 a couple of days ago. So
happy birthday.
Yes, and happy birthday indeed to all you young guys who listen to Vanguard Radio and who are really, when you get right down to it, you have to pick up the standard for the older fellows, you know. As an example, White Will, here's a guy who was with Ben Klassen and with Dr. William L. Pierce. He was the head of security for Dr. Pierce, and now he's on VNN Forum. And, you know, it's interesting to me, Melis, that we span these generations. When you and I have talked over the phone for a couple of years, to me, you're like my contemporary, and yet I have to stop and think, this guy is a young guy, and yet, and what a lot of people say, you know, or don't understand, when media portrays us as hicks and buffoons, they have this satirical and totally false viewpoint of who and what we are. And in fact, we see it on Stormfront and certainly on VNN Forum. Most of us have pretty high IQs.
Yes, the average IQ for a white nationalist is right around 130.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I believe that some of the Nazi officers during the Third Reich were tested, and that was around the median, was it not?
That most likely probably a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't unusual to see higher ranking German military officials with IQs in the 140 range.
Well, sure. I mean, it's just as in this country. You know, a guy commanding a $2 billion or $4 billion aircraft carrier is going to be a flat-out genius. But
The selling point that we have is, believe it or not, radical truth. And this is what I came across in my younger days. You know, and I say younger days, relatively speaking, because when I look at my midsection, I realize I'm not quite as young as I used to be.
Maybe it's that sedentary life, being a digital librarian.
seriously, the selling point we have is radical truth, because this is something that should always be emphasized.
That's exactly what Alex Linder says, too. I think all of us have this either genetically or in our being somehow, and other people don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, you know, the people we're looking for are people that have the capability to examine new ideas with an unbiased eye, or at least, you know, semi-unbiased enough to get them to where they ought to be.
Mm-hmm. And to be unafraid to take action upon their understandings, their new understandings.
Yeah, and that sort of mirrors my own awakening process. We'll get to that in a minute. But that's something that always has to be emphasized, is that we can dig up the radical facts from, say, the FBI or the CDC and talk about how all these minorities have these intrinsic problems. Mm-hmm. And they have to be intrinsic, because if you look at, 30, 40 years of affirmative action, if there's some sort of a problem left over because something hasn't been done, then the question becomes, what hasn't been done?
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, we should always emphasize truth and make sure that it is well-documented and well-researched. And that was one of my primary ideas in creating SolarGeneral.com. I had all these things laying around on my hard drive, and I decided, hey, you know, it's not doing any good sitting around here. Need to be out there so other people can see it.
Uh-huh.
And I have the distinct honor of saying that I've been able to talk to just a handful of people, and kind of point out, you know, there's some things that the powers that be are lying to you about, and here's what you might be interested in looking into if you're open-minded enough to research. That's why Solar General was created. And another reason why it was made was also to help people out with some of those online debates over at the opposition section of some of these white nationalist forums.
Yeah, well, you surely have. Every time I ever go to Solar General, I find something which I haven't read yet. It's just a matter of time. And, of course, with your multimedia files, that's a whole other aspect to it. I hope you're able to increase that very radically. I wanted to mention that I recall pretty close around the time you set up Solar General, in fact it was, I believe, you actually had a benefactor to help you. And this is a common thing I'm noticing in a lot of white nationalists, that there are some of us who are willing to be a little bit more out front for whatever reasons, either we're just willing or able to do it by dint of our current station in life. And others are involved in careers, and they'll be witch hunted if it were known that they support us in this truth propaganda effort and this airing of actual facts which have been tabooized. But you have had a benefactor, I think, that helped you. And the reason I mention it, Melis, is to encourage other benefactors who may be listening. You know, we just did this distribution of the Aryan Alternative number 3, and we concentrated on literally millionaires and multi-millionaires in major cities in the United States, particularly in the eastern Mississippi. But what I mean is, the benefactors, the people who can participate at this level and be hand in glove with us, are there. So could you say something about that, or perhaps even directly to them?
Yes. What I'd say to them is, it's your children's future as well that's at stake here. And the last thing that you want to do is leave your children to inherit a nation and a world that's going to be constantly strife, ridden with all kinds of people complaining and pointing fingers at each other and essentially devolving into a civil war. You don't want to do that. You would instead do well to make sure that your children do something else other than inherit the wind. Because if you don't, then your children and your grandchildren will curse you in your grave. That's what I have to say. It's no longer an issue of, gosh, those people are so impolite for saying this. The issue is, it's getting more and more apparent that it's our very self-determination and our very lives, our collective being, at stake. And without that, all the money in the world won't buy you anything.
Yeah, I read something someone had in their SIG, and it's that materialism means nothing compared to honor and fidelity and service to family and nation and race.
Society is very sick at this point in time. It denigrates those ideas. So those largely have to be internal, intrinsic characteristics and traits that we carry with us. It's not something that we say, hey, this is what we are. It's something you have to do and you have to live. This is why I think creativity is such a great vehicle for myself personally and for my growth and my expansion, because it propels you to be better than what you are now and not focus on baubles that come and go and trinkets and the latest stupid fad.
Creativity also, for people listening to Vanguard Radio, was ruled a valid religion by federal judge Lynn Edelman, and that's a male Lynn, kind of a boy named Sue, but it's Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Edelman, in Wisconsin in June of 2002. I know I joined the World Church of the Creator 2 months after that, and I had been considering either that or the National Alliance, but Ben Klassen's writings struck me so directly. You had recently told me, too, that you're about to put Ben Klassen's Against the Evil Tide and Trials, Travails, and Tribulations online. Is that right?
Yeah, those will find their way online one way or another. Essentially, once they're all online, then people will download them and books online, as we all know, have a habit of becoming immortal.
Yes.
Because they'll be passed around a lot quicker, a lot easier, and a lot faster than books on pieces of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, even Ben Klassen himself quoted someone as saying that, you know, books don't burn. Ideas can't be thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. They have a habit of prevailing. And that's really what this entire white nationalist idea is about. It's about putting forward the final option for people, the final alternative to the failure of democracy and of multicult.
Mm-hmm. People such as yourself and Alex Linder and many others who do this out of love, not for money, they do it out of love of all the great creations of our race over eons, going back to the Scythians, the Aryans, the Tocharian peoples. It just goes back thousands of years, and oftentimes we look at these artworks and we're just astounded. And so long as we can emphasize this, I can't see where we can go wrong or be defeated. I mean, we have the provenance of our race everywhere all around us.
We've built nations out of nothing from the ground up, and if the worst should come to pass, we can rebuild this nation. It's not something where all the races and peoples of the world are going to come together and sing Kumbaya.
No.
It only works in nations that are so spiritually defective that they only focus on economics. And the only way that there's any kind of cooperation is at the at the barrel of a gun,
mm-hmm.
by integration at bayonet point.
Speaking of barrels of guns and integration, you have pictures on solargeneral.com of the corpses in South Africa and Zimbabwe? Or have them linked, I wonder?
I think I might have had. Actually, we have had a few videos there of the farm murders,
mm-hmm.
and the famines.
Mm-hmm.
That have struck Zimbabwe, formerly known as Rhodesia, as well as South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our collective ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah, well, actually, I think we're beginning to notice in all of these crime stories around this country,
mm-hmm.
these criminals hop in automobiles and drive a few minutes or a couple of hours outside cities now even.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same all over. I noticed it driving, and you know, these stories when they always say, it's a random act and could have happened anywhere. Well, indeed it could have in this mess we have.
Well, it probably would have been much less likely to happen had it been a white-only society with no non-whites allowed.
We know that from the stats, don't we? And those are the Department of Justice stats. The DOJ is the boss of the FBI, and the FBI has them on the Uniform Crime Reports, too, online at FBI.gov.
It's very difficult to get the proper picture for that, even from those statistics. But ironically enough, those statistics, when you boil it down per unit of population, say per 100,000 people, you do a little bit of division and multiplication, well, it comes out that blacks commit crime at, their crime rates are 60 times that of ours, something like that.
And, of course, those are just the most horrific extreme, not to mention the loss of jobs and social comfort and the loss of your daughters and wives. I've seen Negroes hit upon married women pushing one baby in a stroller and walking a toddler with the husband present, 6 or 8 feet away. I've actually seen that.
Amazing.
It's really something. I can't remember ever seeing a white man do that.
I'd be hard-pressed to imagine a white man that would, but then maybe I don't get out enough.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm old enough to remember before 1965, white men like that were dispatched pretty readily in this country into prisons for their many
transgressions.
That's right. It was not at all uncommon. You know, we want the right to deal with our own trash, and we should have that.
We can deal with our own trash, as you say. We can take out our own trash.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot, as Dr. William Pierce said at one point, we can't absorb and deal with the refuse and rejects of every other race and nation in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It'll inundate this nation and we'll all suffer.
Can you soon get almost all of Dr. Pierce's recordings online. Is there a way to do that, especially considering the current possible danger to his lifetime library of works?
There are two or three CD images available on SolarGeneral.com. They're very large files.
Mm-hmm.
They run about 600 some megabytes apiece,
mm-hmm.
but you can download them and burn them in using readily available CD software, and you will have pretty much every single American Dissident Voices seminar that Dr. William Pierce has given over the years.
Are those comprehensive CDs rather new to SolarGeneral.com? I don't remember having seen those. But
I'm not quite sure where they're buried. I mean, in all honesty, we have 20 gigabytes of information, plus probably about half a dozen or a dozen web pages that have gone down, which we've absorbed. So all of that stuff, it's kind of hard to keep track of where everything is. But those things have been on there for a little while. They're for well over a year, I'd say. And I think even one prominent attorney downloaded them and was listening to them on his drive to and from various points across the country.
Yeah, that would be a long CD. As it sounds, I hope you can...
Well, they're all stored as MP3 format, so you need, obviously, an MP3-compatible player.
I see, yes. Mm-hmm. I hope you'll put those in a prominent place, because... For a lot of us, I'm pretty sure I could say you included, listening to Dr. Pierce were some of the high points of our evolutions.
It's the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
It's the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. Melius, thank you very much for talking to Vanguard Radio. I'd like to keep you longer, but I don't want to press my welcome with you. I hope you'll come again and talk to us, because Solar General is the digital library in the world for white nationalism now.
Well, I thank you very much. Let's do it again.
Thanks, Melius. Mm-hmm. Oh.